Hi everyone, I'm Evgeny. I'm co-founder of Fluence Project and excited to be here, excited to be at Potsdam. Thank you everyone for joining my talk. And today I'm gonna do a quick introduction about Fluence application platform. And we going to have more talks about different details of how Fluence works, how to build applications on Fluence, how to build services, how to deploy it into a network, and so on. So take a look at the schedule, and I'll start. So Fluence is an open application platform. And what do we mean by that? We mean that everyone, every developer building application in Fluence can reliably build on other applications and components on the platform. So basically, you can create applications by forking other applications and by composing other applications and available components, making it easier and faster to create new and new stuff, new products, new features, and so on. And I'll probably start with the term deplatforming. This term became really popular recently. There was all kinds of censorship and moderation happening in the big social platforms. So deplatforming, usually people think of consumer apps when there's a big social network and it's bans some user. So this user gets deplatformed. Some people are unhappy about that. Some people think that it's fine. But if you think of the deplatforming in terms of application development on how we create applications and how we create new business by integrating other people businesses, and this is the case of Web API, for example. When I create a new application and I want my application to have more interesting data and get better experience for my users, I integrate some Web API. But the owner of this Web API, the other company, can disable access to me at any moment if they want. I do not control the data that comes from there, so I cannot prevent them on doing that. And this sometimes leads to really dangerous things like Zynga, the whole business built on Facebook API, and when Facebook started restricting their API, Zynga basically started losing their business. Or all kinds of stories about Twitter API and people building mobile clients and web clients on Twitter API, and then they all shut down because Twitter shut down their API because they didn't want other people stealing their users. And this prevents, you know, innovation in general. This prevents collaboration. It feels not great when people cannot really use products that exist by created by other people, but to faster create a new stuff. And in cloud, for example, we have all kinds of proprietary tools and services that we're using right now. And we, you know, we locked in Amazon when we use their tools because it's not so easy to switch to other tools. And they made them so easy to use and so, you know, easier than using open source tools and configuring open source tools and running open source tools in the same cloud. So people switch to their proprietary cloud services. And in general, when we think of how we do applications today, when I'm an application developer, I create a new app, what I do is basically I take some existing code, some code pieces, some open source libraries, modules, tools, I package them together, I add some new code, I integrate some external web APIs, some external services, I try to accumulate everything into one product, and then publish this product, attract users also to this to my app, and then extract value out of it, like monetize. So it would be cool to have the reversed business model where I am a developer creating a useful piece of code, useful piece of software, service, application, which other people can take and reuse and I benefit from the amount of people reusing my stuff. So this is basically the similar thing to what open source is. I create something useful, people easily fork it, rebuild it, create something new, and that's cool, and that works for source, but we do not have similar thing for running software, for software combined with data, for web APIs, and so on, because web APIs can be easily disabled from you, so you cannot safely, reliably build new project on top of it. And also, open source does not provide you easy way to monetize your code, but open runtime can have the revenue from people paying money for hosting the code. So part of this hosting revenue can be allocated to authors of the popular software pieces. So open application platform, open applications system can be sustainable in terms of revenue and can incentivize people to create useful stuff that is useful for other people to create apps. So it can accelerate the innovation significantly. And when we think of open applications, mainly we think that this should be applications that decouple ownership from authorship. And it means that this collaborative model on the open runtime would work if we decouple the author of the software and the hosting provider of the software. So imagine that we have some developer creating application and new versions of it, and the developer does not control where this application runs. Like the developer, right now the developer just goes and rents space in the cloud and deploys application in the cloud and serves it to users. But imagine that instead of doing this, developer just works on code, and there is a marketplace of hosting providers who can agree to host this application. And they serve this application for the end users, like, for example, Messenger app. And if the developer creates a new version, which is, by some reason, is not really, like hosting providers doesn't feel it's a good version of the app, or it's a new app that they don't want to serve, they will just not serve it. So, and this creates a balance system, power balance system, where a developer cannot just, you know, break some integrations to other application, cannot disable just some other API and say, okay, now it doesn't work anymore, guys, because now developer doesn't host the application, and the application is hosted by hosting providers who needs to be convinced that the new version brings value for users and they will earn more on the new version. So they economically motivated to have best software and to serve best software for users. And the new version that developer created might not be better than previous one, and users might not want to switch to it. So it creates different nodes, situation when different nodes run in different versions of software or different software, and users can choose whatever version, whatever software they want to use. And for developer, it's interesting because developer now needs to take into account the opinion of hosting providers, but also developer now doesn't have to maintain the running application, doesn't have to manage the hosting because it's now on the hosting providers. So developer can spend full time working on the code, improving the product, and not really being the bottleneck here where the developer is maintaining the runtime of the application. So the second thing is, if we have such open application platform, imagine that one developer created a useful piece of software, like a white label chat application. So if this chat application in the network, on the open application platform, then it's safe and easy to extend this app with new features. Like someone else can come and say, okay, I will build the stickers feature, and someone else will build the stories feature, and they will package this new feature together with existing running service on some nodes, and they will ship it as a new application. So they can attract new users. They can create basically radically new product by heavily reusing working service in the network and adding some new feature to it. And added new features on top can produce new products. And this also very beneficial for developers to create very useful low-level components, because the system would drive usage to these components. Let's say I created this chat application and I would use this amount of users, like I would get this amount of users through my channels that I can access. But if I created it and other people can build on top, they will produce new messenger applications that would drive new users. And my small piece of software will get all these new users because they all will use my piece as well. And then more and more. So I get more and more users. But I also probably would want to, this usage needs to be monetized somehow. So there should be a link between an author and the amount of users, and the usage their piece of software generated, and the money for original author. So one more thing. Technically, of course, on the backend, applications consist of services. So it's not just a combining applications. It's combining of services the same way as you combine in microservices. So the Messenger app would consist of different services, like chat service, group chat service, public channel, comments, and they all might be extension of everyone. Like a group chat service can be produced by adding some new feature to chat service. And basically, it might be technically two different services that work together as a group chat. And when you start thinking was how applications work, applications is a composition of services. So now, if I have few services, I can package these few services as one app or another app. And by adding to all the kinds of chat services just one additional public channel service, I can have Instagram. By using basically all the same services and almost the same data, I will just need to add some new matching, some new data, some new metadata on top of data I have. So, and I will package it as a new application, or I can package it as a WhatsApp. And also, this composition very useful and works at the low level. I can be the developer who created a database, or I created some connector to external API, or I produced some library. So if other people created services on top of it and applications on top of it, then I can benefit. And the third important thing here is the business model. This platform, because everyone tries to create as useful piece of software as they want, they need to make sure that they can benefit from other people using it. And the way how it would work is we have hosting providers, we have nodes who run the software for authors. And at some point, someone pays for hosting of this application. It might be end user who buys paid application with a subscription, like you buy in Slack per user, for example. Or it might be a developer of Messenger app who subsidizes the users by covering hosting fee, like Telegram does, for example. But if this payment is linked to fee that goes to original authors of all involved components, then original authors can make money. So if some application is very popular and spends a lot of money on hosting fees, then developers of all components, all databases, and all the low-level, all reusable services also can make money from it. And that creates a revenue stream to open source developers and to all developers that produce great and useful stuff. So you can create a database, you can create API, you can create low-level library, and you will get the piece of revenue. So in the end, open applications are very, very interesting and useful. They allow to avoid deplatforming if you want to build fully peer-to-peer app in this concept, you can do it, because applications are hosted by marketplace. So if some hosting provider decided not to host the application, another hosting provider can decide to host it. And application can migrate from host to host. You can create applications that host it at the same time on different nodes in different providers. And this is how they cannot be so easily deplatformed. It's also faster and easier and more fun to create new application by composing existing services. And basically, it's a composable runtime where you have running services and you can pick one service, another service, and produce a new user experience based on this. And it's faster to build new features, to create new features. And it provides the new business model for open source software. So you can just produce useful pieces, useful components, and when they will be popular, when they will be at least used by some application that pays for hosting, you will be able to earn money. You essentially will earn royalty for your open source products. And this is what we do in Fluence. And this is what Fluence is. And technically, Fluence consists of a few parts. There is a peer-to-peer composition layer, which means how you, when you create an application, how you compose services over the network into high-level business logic. And we have a Kumarin scripting language that we created that works peer-to-peer and that does this part. And we will have a separate talk about our Kumarin. So please join it if you're interested. We have a runtime, which is WebAssembly-based Fluence Compute Engine that runs services on nodes. And we will have another talk about this. And we, for the economics part of this, we need a blockchain which would store all the dependency tree of all the applications and services in the network and would perform payments between developers, hosting providers, and authors, and will ensure that that authors get their payment from the hosting fee. So the situation when the Amazon provides a lot of open source software for its customers and earns a lot of money but do not pay anything to open source authors, not possible here because it's all on chain, it's all smart contracts, it's immutable, it's secure. So this revenue to authors of popular stuff is much more guaranteed than in other models. And the network, the protocol is live. It's live without the blockchain and economic yet, but you can build applications, you can run services, you can run a node, and you can go to dash.fluence.dev to see the network dashboard of what's already in the network, what nodes are in the network, and you can learn more on how to run node, how to build application, and how to build service in our other our talks. And the funny thing here is this developer dashboard is a web app, which is as a backend uses Fluence Network and uses a Kumarin and uses all technology itself and works as an open application itself built on Fluence. And Fluence is going to have more web products to make easier for developers to use this sort of distributed cloud instead of traditional clouds. So we will have more and more interfaces to that will be probably similar to what you saw in Amazon or Heroku or others, but it will be not centralized. So there can be many, many interfaces connected to network and many, many products on top of the protocol. And they are not yet live, but will be soon. And that's it. Thank you so much, and I'm happy to answer any questions.